We continue our Journey of Wellness in Indian Country series this morning. As in many rural areas in America, recruiting and retaining physicians is a critical need for reservations. Sean O'Leary joins us on the phone this morning. He's a member of the Boys Fort Band of Ojibwe, and he's an urban health scholar advisor at the Geisel School of Medicine at Dartmouth College. And he's developed an innovative way of kind of introducing physicians to Indian Country, and he's doing it here in Minnesota. Sean, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. How are you?
Are you on speakerphone?
Oh, yes, I am. I'll take that off.
Can you bounce off speakerphone? You know, speakerphone has improved so much over the last few years, but it still doesn't sound as good on the radio as we'd like it to sound. Talk about this. You take your students on a trip. Talk about the trip and what the goals are.
Yeah, so, you know, we have a strong culture here at Dartmouth around community service. You know, our medical my medical students came to me in the fall of 2009 and expressed a real strong desire to start an alternative spring break. And they mentioned the Southwest, and my immediate response was, hey, you know, how about something to northern Minnesota? And they're like, really? And they were game for it. They jumped right in, they rolled up their sleeves and said, sure, that sounds good. We're willing to climb snowbanks on our spring break. I'm like, that's dedication, right?
You bet.
So I thought, you know, and plus I had worked previously for the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe and the UMD School of Medicine at the Center of American Indian and Minority Health. They developed a vast array of contacts, you know, in both education and healthcare. So I thought it would be a little easier to set up, you know, these contacts and develop these relationships. So since that time, we've organized 7 trips for over 100 medical and public health students. There are 2 overarching missions on when we visit. One is to provide clinical opportunities in both tribal and IHS facilities for our medical students to shadow and gain that clinical exposure. And 2, we want to engage with the communities in meaningful ways to offer some sort of service that empowers the people to lead healthier lives. So leading up to the trip, we spend about 3 months preparing to go to the communities. We discuss things like cultural competency and language, health disparities, that impact our communities, and then the cultural versatility that will be needed to successfully meet the and help bridge the healthcare needs of the American Indian communities that they want to serve someday.
So these trips are kind of like a combination of let's spend spring break, you know, building houses with Habitat for Humanity and Northern Exposure.
There you go.
You and I talked about that a little bit. That's actually a different program you explained to me that helps students, that encourages students to practice rural medicine and helps them with a kind of a tuition break if they go and do that. Tell me what your students... You know, so here are all of these East Coast students, maybe many of them who have never been this far west before, and they're going into, I'm guessing, a radically different environment than the one that they've encountered at Dartmouth. How are they reacting to this?
You know, no matter how much pre-trip work we do, you know, trying to prepare them for where they're headed, there's still this response like, oh, wow, I had no idea. You know? And I'm like, really? We just spent 3 months talking and working on this. But that really is a big part of the trip is that, you know, I would say out of the 100 students, like 97 have never been on a reservation before. So I think going there and seeing it firsthand and working directly with the community members is a really, really powerful, life-changing experience for our medical students.
I remember my first visit to Standing Rock in North Dakota and saying, why is that person, to my friend, saying, why is this person walking and why is she carrying a bucket? And my friend said, because she doesn't have a car and she needs to go get water.
Yeah.
And is in some instances the poverty that these students are seeing for the first time, is that what is taking them by surprise? What's really surprising them?
Yeah, no, I think there is a level of poverty that they haven't witnessed before. I'll tell you a quick story. But as we were flying back from the very first trip in 2010, we were in the Minneapolis airport. We got stuck, and a couple of my students were like, you know, We couldn't fly through Chicago. It was too windy. They said, well, hey, how about if we fly to New York City? My dad has a private jet. He can swing by and pick us up in New York City and drive us up to Boston. We can be back in time. And I'm like, wow, that's a whole different world than where I come from. I come from northern Minnesota and from the reservation communities, and my students definitely come from a different world, so to speak. But I think there's definitely a willingness to engage in respectful, healthy ways that my students bring to with them when they come to the communities.
Wow, this is a really cool program, Sean. Thank you so much for giving us just the opportunity to kind of touch on it a little bit. I wish we had a half hour or so we could talk more about it. But thanks so much for joining us this morning.
No, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Sean O'Leary, our guest on Northland Morning this morning, as we continue our series, Journey of Wellness in Indian Country.